The following worship service was recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, July 21st, 2019, at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ, and welcome to worship this morning, and welcome to this time of fellowship and time when we come together as the church, at the church, in the sanctuary. But it is good to see you. It is truly great to be with you, to be in the house of God with you today, to worship the resurrected Christ. Let us know that truly today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. As summer reminds us of the changing of seasons, it reminds us also that time marches forward, and so should we with Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as the seasons progress, as time moves forward, so should we with you. May we truly know that today is the day that you have made. May we truly rejoice and be glad in it. Let us come together now to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God.
There's a lot of ground to cover in this text. Because in order to get even a part of what's going on in this interaction, I got to give it some context. I got to give it some cultural context, Jewish cultural context, and I've got to give it some traditional context so that we kind of get all of what's going on with this interaction. So in the day of Jesus, the role of a woman was to cook and clean, to be quiet, to, if they were too outspoken, they could actually be taken and stoned. They were to have the babies and take care of the babies. If you had too many girl babies, it's okay to get rid of those too. So this is the culture of the day. And the reality was the woman was to be the one who was to give hospitality. She was to wait on the men while they ate the dinner. And I remember growing up in the Southeast where that was still, 50 years ago now, that was the norm, that the women actually cooked the meals and the men would come to the table and eat. Then the men would get up and go in the living room, sit around and talk and have a coffee or whatever while the women cleaned up. And then the women would stay in the kitchen and they'd have conversation while the men were in the other room. And it was that way for a long time. And I guess I began to, does anybody remember that? Did it ever happen here in the West? Some of, how many of you remember this? I also remember that, and you're going to hear a story in a minute, that when somebody important came to the house, the kids did not eat with the grown-ups. Was that a, this is yes. You may not want to admit. And the kids were to be quiet. Did you ever hear kids were to be seen, not heard? And the kids got what was given them, they didn't pick. And the adults got served first, and then the kids. Does anybody remember that? We got chicken wings. I didn't have a chicken breast till I was grown. I knew they existed. I had saw them. But that's okay. I found out that was the driest part of that old dead bird anyway, and I was just better off with my legs and wings. Still pretty happy. And now they charge you extra for what we used to have to eat as kids as what was part of the be throwaway chicken. You know? Tradition is what is going on. And Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary are introduced to us for the first time. But this won't be the first time we run into Martha and Mary. Indeed, there's someone else in this house that we'll hear more about later, and his name is Lazarus. Martha and Mary are very well-to-do ladies. This is a nice home, but they still fall under Jewish custom. I want you to notice that Martha invites Jesus to come. Martha invites him to come, and he accepts the invitation. That means she's double-downed. You know, if somebody just shows up, knocks, you don't feel like you really have to be as hospitable. But if you invite them over, if you invite them over, you got to be hospitable, right? Nah? No? I remember, so I'm going to tell the story now. Maybe you'll get at least a little chuckle. We had the preacher come over one time for lunch. And it was a big deal. I'd never had a preacher in our house. I was a kid. And he came over and the double plate tables, things were set. And Mama had worked hard on that lunch. It was fried chicken, mashed potatoes, green beans, cathead biscuits, and gravy, and apple pie for dessert, plus homemade, guess who turned the crank handle ice cream. It was going to be, I was so looking forward to it. I had smelled that chicken. It was just too good. Folks, you need to understand that for a southeastern southern boy, fried chicken is just heaven on earth as it cooks. So we're getting, and the preacher and his wife show up, and Mama gets the table set, and we get the table set, and we're all together. Of course, the preacher prays, and I thought he was going to pray all day. I've never seen him. I don't know why. I don't know if he was not wanting to eat. I'm not sure what was going on. I thought he would never shut up. I was drooling because my chicken leg and my chicken wing, I got two pieces. My sister's got one. They were on my plate. The mashed potatoes were there. Why let them get cold? It was ready, and I had a glass of fresh milk. And I'm talking a nearly quart glass. And I ain't talking about that Blue John you go down here at Smith's and get. I'm talking about that stuff had 3 inches of cream when we got it out of the refrigerator, had to be stirred in. Anybody have had milk like that? That's milk. I mean, it makes you a chunky chicken in a little while, but it's good. And I'm ready, you know. And that preacher just won't shut up. And finally, he gets down to eating, and he don't waste no time when it comes to eating. He goes along with it pretty good. Meal's all over. Coffee's all had. The pie's all eaten. And everything, preacher and his wife are gone. And it's so funny. Mama's in there cleaning. My sister's in there helping them clean up. And Daddy and I are at the table. And I had to pull all the chairs out and sweep on the table. And it was so funny. Daddy said, Donna. She said, what? He said, where'd you get those dishes from? She said, well, we've had them for years. He said, I've never ate off of them before. She said, we got them when we got married. He said, well, why haven't we ate off of them before? She said, there ain't nobody ever been here important enough for me to use them.
We knew where we rated in Mama's book. Finally figured it out. But it was tradition. Martha's going to keep the tradition. Jesus shows up. Now, it's unclear whether he brings those 70. Remember, he just had those 70 disciples. Jesus is at the pinnacle of his popularity in Luke's gospel. They are thousands of people following him. They go into the courtyard. We don't know if it was just the 12 and Jesus or if it was the 70 plus the 12 and Jesus. Either way, I don't know about you, but 20 or 30 extra people at my house to take care of, that's a lot of work. Now, imagine this, no microwaves. No ovens, no electricity, open hearth, cooking. Guess what? I bet she didn't have 20 place settings, much less 80 place settings. She's going to go out and borrow this. She's going to have to go out and find the food. Can you imagine how busy Martha was just to be a good hostess? And the law required that if she invited someone in, she had to be a hostess. Jesus is there and her sister Mary. Number one, she should have been helping her sister. Number two, she should not, by law, have been sitting at the feet of Jesus. So when Martha comes in there, a little perturbed, I would think, you know, how many of you would feel like Martha? Yeah, I'll be honest, you're in church. You know it's the same penalty for lying as it is for stealing, right? You know, there ain't no big ones or little ones when you get up there. So she goes in there, but notice what she says to Jesus. Underline this, because this is the only place, and I believe this is the only place where this very phrase is ever said to Jesus. She says to him, Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not care? Implying to him, he's being non-compassionate, non-understanding. Do you not care that my sister, who shouldn't be there in the first place, is not helping me? You see, Martha knew that by tradition, by custom, and by law, Jesus should have sent her out of there already, and that surely she was going to get in trouble. But in a very gentle tone, did you hear what Jesus said? Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. How many of you have trouble staying focused? How many of you have went into a room and forgot why you went in? That's okay. But it's bad when you go in the room and you don't know if you were coming or going. You know, you went a little too far. And, you know, the reason we aren't focused. That's why we forget what we aren't focused. We've got too many distractions going on. And there's so much. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you are worried about a lot of stuff and you are distracted by many things. You missed what was important. You missed who's here. You missed it. So often we get busy to the point that we miss it. We get wrapped up in our own little worlds and we lose focus. And we get caught up in busy. We get caught up in the things around us. We get caught up so much so, and parents, hear me, we are guilty today of thinking that we are drawing close with our kids the more things they are involved in. Out has gone the evening meal with the family. It's been washed away. Out has gone chairs on front porches with tenants and attention and conversation. I was reading an article and I emailed it to some of the leaders in church. It said the front door of the church isn't the front door anymore. And several pieces of research are quoted in that. And one of the things that amazed me was our generation of people today are only good for two sentences worth of attention span. That if you don't capture them in the first two sentences, they won't finish reading it. our person skills and our interpersonal skills and our abilities to have actual and real conversations with each other is evaporating every single day. How many of you have been to a restaurant lately for a meal? Anybody? Did you look around? What's going on? They'll text people at the same table with them. It's remarkable, but I'm guilty. I'll text Trinity downstairs. because I can't yell that far anymore. But I figured out last night I can stomp on the floor because my room's right above her room. And she needs to understand three means to come, four means come now. So I'm going to use the four. You just need to know that. Because if I leave it up to her, she may be a day before she gets there. But put it off. But we have lost, in our society and culture today, our focus. We've gotten busy, we've gotten worried, we've got distracted, and we aren't attending to the main things, and that is communicating with each other. Folks, that's how the gospel is spread. The gospel is spread through personal interactions. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and us taking the time to share the good news with somebody. People today don't care what you think. They don't care what you have to say until they finally figure out that you care about them. And you can't do that in a text message or a video. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to get in there and talk to them. And even more important than that, we are neglecting our relationship with Jesus because of our busy, because of our rush, because of our stuff. We are distracted. I had a great little dog. His name was Edward Von Pepper Lee. He was a miniature schnauzer, a black one. I had his ears sharpened. You know what you do when you have their ears and their tails docked? He was a sharp-looking little guy, and he was smart. I mean, this little dog was smart. If you didn't have food in his dish, now, Buddy, our Cocker Spaniel, he just goes to carry and then looks at the dish like, take care of this. I'm hungry, it's time, feed. Edward's a little more persistent. He would go in the kitchen because I kept the dog food under the thing in a big Ziploc bag. And he'd go in there and pop that cabinet door, open it, bring the dog food to me, and then go bring the dish. And I said, just open it and put it in. If he was out of water, here comes the water dish. You just might as well count. Love to play basketball. The little guy he'd get that ball. If you'd bounce it, get it started, he'd get with it and bounce it and push it around to you. He was just a wonderful little guy. I'd tell him we were going for a truck ride. Go wait on me. He'd go out and sit by the truck door. And I'd open the truck, and I said, "Hey, you get back there and go to sleep. It's going to be a long." He'd go lay down in the back seat and just conk out. He slept like a person. He slept with me at night. He would go down to my feet, come back up, and lay on his pillow like a person. He didn't know he was a dog. That was one of his problems. But he'd be back there, and then sometimes I was just mean. Sometimes I was just mean because I could always count on squirrel. It was 15 minutes before he quit looking out windows and barking. And there ain't been a squirrel for 150 miles. He just got distracted. We have to watch the distractions in life. The devil will shout squirrel and point a lot in your life. He will come at you with stuff that is so busy. I'm going to recommend a book to you. Get a pencil and paper and write this down. If you read, how many of you still read books? Good. This is not available on audio yet, but it should be coming. The author of this book is Barbara Brown Taylor. Barbara Brown Taylor. I see people hunting pencils. That's good. I'm about done, by the way. When I start recommending books, you need to know I'm about at the end of the service. Barbara Brown Taylor, And you're going to wonder, preacher, why are you going to recommend this book? Barbara Brown Taylor, Leaving Church. Leaving Church. I recommend to every clergy to read this book at least four times. One after your first year, one after your third year, once after your fifth year, and maybe once a year after that. It's called Leaving Church. In Barbara Brown Taylor's book, as an example of what we call the Martha Syndrome, she was walking with her husband at night because they couldn't walk during the day anymore. They were too busy. As they were walking down the street in their neighborhood, she suddenly realized there were stars. She suddenly realized that her husband was holding her hand. She realized that they lived in a nice neighborhood and that their neighbors had beautiful flowers. But she couldn't remember the last time that she knew those things existed. Because as pastor of her church, her holy work had become such a distraction that the relationships and life around her had faded and dimmed. It's about balance, Mary and Martha. It's about spending time with Christ that we may be about the work to which we're called. It's about being in that intimate personal relationship with our God through Jesus that we can know the difference and that the Holy Spirit can guide us. Barbara Brown Taylor does a much better job explaining how this can happen. And it applies to not only preachers, but it applies to moms and to dads and to children and college students and athletes. And it's a very broad spectrum. The devil will also bless you with so much fun that you don't have time for God. Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? In closing, I want to give you this. If you're not praying on a regular basis every single day, you're neglecting your faith. You're neglecting your personal relationship with God. Two, if you're not studying the Word of God every day, then you're neglecting your faith and your relationship with God. Three, if you aren't trying to love your neighbor and forgive yourself, you're neglecting your faith. Number four, if you haven't told someone about Jesus or witnessed to your faith this week, you're neglecting your faith. It's about a relationship, and that a relationship is a two-way thing. Prayer is conversation with God. Studying the Bible is conversation with God. Sharing your witness is conversation with God. It's about relationships. For that person really doesn't care what you think until they know you care. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, I entitled this sermon, Focus, Focus, Focus. And that is what I would like for us to do. To borrow the old adage from my Marine Corps service, to keep the main thing the main thing and to maintain the main thing as the main thing as we maintain the main thing as the main thing. In other words, keep you first. Center our lives on you. Center our relationships in you. Take time with you. For Father, you have time for us. Father, let us balance the scales, not be heavy on one side or the other,
but to have you in the center, that you hold both, the busy and the quiet. And let us seek balance in the lives of our friends and our families to take time to have a conversation, to listen. And Father, may even more than that, you make us good listeners, that we would listen to understand more than to respond. And that if we do respond, we respond out of grace and love. And Father, may we truly know that you are the life giver, that you love us unconditionally, and you call us out of those places where harm may come to us, our ministry, and our mission. And you call us into the places you have prepared and equipped us to go. So may we spend time in our relationship to have a conversation with you and with others. And Father, let us focus and live because of you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to know balance in our life of both the Martha side and the Mary side, but may we go to share grace and mercy in those relationships that God places us in. May we go and know that our relationship with God is based on a mutual love of one for another and gratitude and the resurrected Christ. And now may grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. May God's grace shine upon you. May His countenance shine upon you. And may you go in His peace. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.